Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Folks, look, I know last week was a one-episode week. My bad. This week, though, there was no way it was going to be a one-episode week. Why? This is the biggest week of the NFL season. It's the Super Bowl, baby, as you see me move my microphone, so I'm closer. Today, there may be a third guest. The guests, they're coming. But one guest was here a week ago. One guest was a part of episode 150. That guest is the man you see right here, Mr. Matt Datz, who back with me once again. Are we ready for Sunday? How are we feeling?
We're feeling all right. Saints got a head coach, but in terms of Super Bowl, hope the Rams lose. Like I was saying, that's what I'm hoping for, but we're ready to see how it all plays out.
Exactly. That's the one thing about Sunday. It's always like, I feel like for like the non-NFL fans out there, it's always like, just like, yeah, you know what, it's a big game. Like someone at my work who never watches football came up to me and said, like, are you excited for the Super Bowl? And I literally wanted to look at him twice and be like, you know who you're talking to? Do you know, like, do you remember those WrestleMania 21, all the promos they were doing, like, Hollywood movies for? Mm-hmm. And then they did the, are you talking to me? And that was me. And Robert De Niro from Taxi was like, you talking to me? But for people like us, I feel like the Super Bowl is always bittersweet because it's, like, the end of the season. Because after Sunday, we don't get football again for 7 months.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's the end of it all. You had the Pro Bowl, which I heard some things about, but I didn't watch it at all. in terms of the actual Super Bowl, it's the big event. Even if you don't watch football, people tune in to watch it, either be for the commercials or the stacked halftime show, in my opinion. But At the end of it all, there's a game right there, and there's definite rooting interest for myself against a certain team, like I was saying earlier. It's the biggest night. It's like Christmas Eve, the whole week headed up to the Super Bowl for NFL fans, especially for if your team's in the Super Bowl. Griff's got to feel that feeling so many times. He's lived a blessed life. But yeah, I mean, just it's a special occasion.
That it is. But I do have some breaking news, actually, because I don't know if any of us are watching it live, but NFL Awards, I know on the screen here on YouTube it says NFL Honors. We got some winners to come down the pipeline, actually, which when all three are pretty obvious. Defensive Player of the Year, TJ Watt. Offensive Rookie and Defensive Rookie of the Years, respectfully, mm-hmm. Individually both go to Jamar Chase and Micah Parsons. Parsons received all 50 votes. Which is, none of the three are a shock. Would I like to see my guy win? Math, of course, but I know I can't be a homer. And for the TJ Watt one, like, he should have won it last year, but I'm really glad the writers gave it to him this year.
Yeah, I mean, those are all very obvious. Micah Parsons is probably like the hands down easiest award winner of any award in a while, probably. I mean, it's just a cakewalk to decide who is going to be Defensive Rookie of the Year this season. Micah Parsons was amazing. I don't know if you have it in front of you or any kind of votes in front of you. How many votes would Micah Parsons – did he even get a vote for Defensive Rookie or Player of the Year? I'm interested to see if he got any votes for Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm going to look it up. I don't know. I just saw that he got all 50 votes for Defensive Rookie of the Year. But for – no, it doesn't say anything. It just basically says about TJ Watt saying how it's his first award, that he's come close in recent years. As soon as he tied Michael Strahan's sack record, you kind of knew that's what it was. But for the most part, just like on Field Yates' Twitter, basically, because he posted the TJ Watt one earlier and I didn't see anything. I'm sure we'll see something come out, but I think there's a few people who threw him a bone. But I feel like with Defensive Player of the Year, it was probably down to TJ Watt, Aaron Donald, and they probably threw a third in there, like just to, you know, give someone some votes. But in all reality, it came down to those two guys because there's not a lot of guys off the top of my list who can win it. But But I do have a feeling there is a Saint that's going to win an award tonight.
I'm trying to think who that would even be.
Mr. Cameron Jordan.
Oh, Cam Jordan. What do you have him going under?
Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing if he could win Walter Payton Man of the Year. I knew he was up for it.
He's in it. Oh, okay, I'll let you go on.
I knew he was up for it, but I with the Walter Payton Man of the Year, I don't even really know who's ever going to win. I can't just say, oh, this guy's obviously going to win, but he would definitely be a good choice. He's a good dude, and he's always so outspoken in the media, outspoken in just life in general. He's an interesting dude to listen to. He even has his own podcast with Mark Ingram. I don't know how up to date they are with that, but interesting guy for sure, and definitely a Saints legend. So I would be very excited if he could bring home a Walter Payton Man of the Year award for himself.
Who was a part of that historic 2011 draft class? He was doing. I only say he's. I think he's going to win too because he is in LA. He's been doing the rounds. I haven't seen many other Walter Payton nominees in Los Angeles, so I feel like they kind of say, if they have an inkling of who's going to win, they tell you, hey, you have to be there. Like, for example, Mac Jones is at NFL Honors tonight. I don't know if Ja'Marr Chase was or wasn't. I feel like the award show is better that it's tonight as opposed to the night before the big game, which I have to call this episode the big game because I know the NFL hates it when you use the term Super Bowl. I don't know why. I don't know why, but that's how it is. So that's why this episode is called the big game, ladies and gentlemen. No fancy like Applebee's, none of that. I want to ask you quickly, though, just on another Saints note. Oh, also, too, I feel like with the Man of the Year, it's either him or DeMario Davis that are up for it every year.
Yeah, I mean, both great guys for sure. And Cam Jordan might be there just doing media runs just because I feel that's going to be something he's going to do at later stage in his career. Because every time there's, like, a media run for a Saints player, it's always Cam Jordan going on either Colin Cowherd or ESPN or NFL Network or doing whatever the rounds are. And he's doing it again for the Super Bowl, but yeah.
I think a lot of the time, too, it is sponsored because, like, whenever I've been listening to Pro Football Talk this week, it's always like Aiden Hutchinson was out there, but it's, hey, you're here on behalf of Auto Trader, so what are you doing with them? Or it's like Deebo Samuel was with Old Spice, or Justin Herbert was with some, I think it's called Squatch Soap or something like that. So I feel like they're at the Super Bowl, but then there's also like a reason, for them being there too, but at the same time too, I feel like if he's actually at the physical award show himself, I feel like it's different that way. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the money.
Exactly. And then I just want to ask you quickly about the Alvin Kamara thing. Do you have anything to add to that, really, or do you just hope for the best?
Man, it is a it's a sticky situation for sure. Definitely, probably need a little bit more information. He did say some pretty damning things when he talked to the police in the police report. He said something along the lines of, from what I read on the police report, he said something along the lines of, I thought he had messed with one of my friends and he was running away, so I chased him down and punched him. That's a pretty rough statement to put out there. He should have said, I just want my lawyers to talk to him. And look, hey, we're just going to see how it all falls into play. Definitely something big for Dennis Allen to deal with right into the job, that having your star offensive player have this go on. But I mean, last season, for Pete's sake, we had Lattimore. He got busted and pulled over, and he had a illegal handgun that literally had this. What's that?
Didn't he have marijuana as well?
Yeah, he had that too, but like he literally had an illegal handgun that had the serial number scratched out and everything. Like, that's some sketchy stuff. So something always got to happen with the Saints, man. It's always some kind of bad news, even when there's some better news out there as well. It's always something bad going on, man. But a lot of people like to blame it on the fact that he was in Vegas. I mean, look, it just happens, man. I mean – the main people that got to take the fall, though, I got to say, man, his entourage, they definitely failed him there. They should have said, Kamara, you go away. You're the breadwinner. We're just going to deal with this, do all that. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't condone going out and attacking a guy if he was defenseless. I do not condone that at all. Bad thing to do. Shouldn't just gang up and beat up on a guy. But I definitely want more information out there and just see how this whole situation plays out.
Yeah, I'm the same way too, because like, I feel like it was just like it was just a bar fight. But yeah, like the fact that he says all these stuff that could incriminate him. Do I think he's going to get jail time? Probably not. I feel like it's just another, you know, this it's a situation that I'm not trying to downplay it or anything, but I feel like stuff like this happens in Vegas every weekend. I think it's just the fact that, for one, that he played the game, and that two, I don't know if the NFL found out until the game was being played, but it happened like 6 o'clock in the morning. And from what I saw from the police report that I read, apparently he was approaching him, and then Camaro pushed him or something, and that like him and his entourage started to chase him. But like, it just seemed like he basically pointed out, it was like, oh, Alvin Kamara did this. But I don't, it's like, it's a serious issue, but I'm not trying to down, like I said, I'm going to repeat myself, folks. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying it's not like there was serious injury that has long-term effects or life-changing altering effects. I'm not saying anything like that. That's why I feel like he can get off, but at the same time too, I could see the NFL maybe giving him maybe a 1 or 2 game suspension just to kind of show these guys, like, you can't do that. Because every offseason, no matter, like you said, there's the Marshawn Lattimore stuff last year. Frank Clark was arrested for having a fucking Uzi in his car. That's a military-grade weapon. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like certain things when I look at NFL players, I want to be like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're a professional football player. Why do you have guns and drugs in your car? Why are you getting into fights? There are things that are bigger than you. Now, obviously, the Henry Ruggs situation, much darker, much scarier. But at the same time, too, there's just certain things where I'm just like, you, if you literally make small, like just rash decisions or smart decisions, it can change your life in an instant. Yeah. Like, you know, they say like life can just change in a snap. It's the same thing with stuff like this, no matter the severity or the degree of it. So I just hope, for the sake of all NFL players, they can kind of learn from this as learning experiences and be like, hey, I don't want this to be me.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something they should learn from. And I mean, they even have these NFLPA kind of situation where they can go out and just get a ride like super easily. And it just doesn't make any sense, some of these decisions these players make. But, and I know sometimes they even get these classes as rookies when they're going into the league, so that way they can try to prevent these things. But at the end of the day, you have so many people in the league. I mean, if you look at it, it's not that many people, but there's just always going to be the percentage of people that make decisions like this, unfortunately. And it happens out there, and it sucks, but at the end of the day, you just hope that they can minimize the amount of these kind of situations that happen.
100%. 100%. Oh, also, I just got another one down the pipeline for the NFL Awards as we put it back on. SportsCenter breaking news. Joe Burrow wins Comeback Player of the Year.
That was probably the second most obvious of the night, winning Comeback Player of the Year. That has come out and done major things off that injury, and going into the season, everyone was worried about it and like, oh, they didn't invest in the offensive line. Myself being included, being like, hey, you should invest in the O-line. That's obviously still a problem, but they're playing in the big game, as the title of the show is. But kudos to Joe Burrow.
100%. 100%. Kudos to Joe Burrow. Joe Scheisty, Joe Cool. Hit the get. I know we were just talking about like why NFL players should have guns and stuff, but that's, you think of Joe Burrow, you think of that. I want to talk about the Bengals in this matchup. I want to go segue into there. Now, I know the Bengals is one of those teams, they're not, I don't think they're mid anymore. So, MJF, if you're listening to this, they're not mid. Sorry. Skyline Chili and the Reds still maybe. Bengals are not mid. Obviously, we're not Bengals fans. You're a Saints fan. I'm a Patriots fan. If you folks want to go back and listen to Tuesday's episode with Jordan Hines from the Sports Dude Hines Show, he is a diehard Cincinnati Bengals fan. He gives more insight to the team. Matt and I are just going to kind of look at it as, like, we like the story. Do we, like the team? Like, because, like, when I look at this Bengals team, I obviously the other team for you is very different. But with this Bengals team, there's no reason to, like, hate them unless you're a Browns fan.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you always like to see the it's always the underdog story of this wild card team. Well, not really, or wild card round playoff team get this far. And, I mean, granted, the Rams were in that situation too. But because most teams have to play that weekend unless you're number one seed. Look where they ended up, which is kind of funny to think about. But, I mean, it's a good story because going into the playoffs, no one really thought the Bengals were going to make it this far. And for them to do this, it's amazing. You got to be excited for their fans and just the fact that if they win one, it would be amazing for them. And you'd probably hate to hear me say this, but another fan base I'd just be so elated for. Like Bengals fans, I'm elated for. Bills fans, if they ever win a Super Bowl, I'm going to be elated for them just because I feel so bad thinking back on the past. And anyone that was a Bills fan when they went to three Super Bowls in a row and lost them all, that is like devastating. I don't know what I would do if the Saints went to three Super Bowls in a row and lost them all. Like, I'd probably have to deactivate my online presence because I would just be so distraught. So I really want to see it for the Bengals fans, just because I know they'd be just so elated and so excited to get this. And obviously, I have my personal vendettas against the Rams, even though it'd be cool to see Matthew Stafford finally get a ring. But this Bengals team, they've been a hell of a story. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, this offense has been electric. The defense has been good to where they can get to their place. Obviously, if I had it my way, I would have the Bengals win, but have Eli Apple get roasted all night long.
You know, also, too, I just have a quick update on the Offensive Rookie of the Year vote. I have the Offensive Rookie of the Year votes. So here's how the voting went down. Two of the four finalists were offensive linemen.
Wow.
Rashawn Slater got a vote. Creed Humphrey got two votes. Ja'Marr Chase got 42 votes, and Mac Jones got 5.
That sounds about right. I mean, going into the season, we had quite a few rookie quarterbacks. I mean, T-Law, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, and going into the season, you probably would have thought one of the rookies would have won it or one of the rookie QBs. But this year for rookie QBs was not very hot. I mean, Mac Jones probably being the best of them, and he had a good situation surrounding him, and it wasn't just like he was expected to go in there and blow up and just put up numbers. But Ja'Marr Chase, that man definitely put up some numbers, man. I mean, outstanding season by him.
And then I also have the voting for Defensive Player of the Year. So in third place was Aaron Donald with 3. Second place was Micah Parsons with 5.
Okay, Micah.
And in first place with 42 votes is TJ Watt.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if Micah got any votes because I was thinking he's going to get some. And, I mean, that just goes to show you why he won the Defensive Rookie of the Year by a landslide.
He did, and then Comeback Player of the Year was pretty close. Joe Burrow at 28 and Dak Prescott had 21. The last vote went to Derwin James of the LA Chargers, a player I like whose first few seasons have been derailed by injuries because if he's on, he's one of the best corners in the league. I don't mean to cut it off. I'm just going to keep – I'll have Twitter open, so I'm just going to keep on scrolling through and refreshing through just to keep you updated on the awards. My take on the Bengals, and I know, like you pointed this out earlier, I'm going to correct you on a couple of things. One, you better be careful with your mouth when you say you want to watch the Bills win. We like to see them do well. We don't want to see them win the Super Bowl here on YWC Football Talk. And there was 4 Super Bowls they lost. 4. 90, 90, 91, I think it was 91, 92, 93, and 94. So...
Oh, okay. Oh, 4. Holy crap.
Yeah. By the way, the voting comes from Ari Mirov. He's an NFL reporter for PFF. But my big thing with the Bengals is, and even the Rams, I like to see teams, and I know I'm spoiled by saying this because I'm a Pats fan, but I always like seeing teams who haven't won a title in forever win a title. Like the Bengals have never won, and the last time the Rams won, you and I were both in like – either kindergarten or like grade 1 or grade 2. So the fact like it was 2000 and obviously I know the Rams were there 3 years ago, but you want to see a team and a fan base that hasn't won in a while win. Like for the city of Cincinnati, like I said this on Tuesday to my guest who's my Bengals fan correspondent, Jordan. I just can't imagine what a blue collar town where I feel like it's just eat, breathe, sleep Bengal football. Like how New Orleans, it's the Saints are everything. Mm-hmm. So I want to see the Bengals win, and mainly because you want to see that fan base feel something that I even said this. Imagine telling them 2 years ago, Bengals fans, you're going to draft Joe Burrow, and 2 years later, you're going to be playing in the Super Bowl. I think you went up to any one of them saying that, they would have thought you'd lost your mind.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, that just goes to show you how well this team has done. I mean, you go from picking number one 2 years ago, you get your guy in Joe Burrow at quarterback. He has this huge injury, and then next year you're in the Super Bowl. That is an amazing turn of events, man. You gotta give respect to that. That's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And just see how far he's came, man. I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl, he will have won a freaking Heisman, a freaking national championship, and a Super Bowl all in the span of like 3 years ever since the pandemic started. That's just nuts. Yeah.
Someone tweeted this out last week. I think you and I were talking about this last week. Remember, it said the pandemic started with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase winning a national championship, and it's going to end with them winning a Super Bowl. So just look at that full circle, whole thing come full circle. We'll get to who we think is going to win later on, but I feel like I know where we're both leaning. But official predictions. Next up, I know this is going to be a bad Band-Aid for you, but we got to talk about them, and that's the LA Rams. Look, I just feel like the Rams teams from 3 years ago to the Rams team now are different. Like, sure, it's the same coach. There's some key pieces that are still there. But, you know, you have the quarterback. You got a good core of receivers, which even is shocking considering Robert Woods is out.
Yeah.
Defense, you've got just different players on different players out there who can go out there and ball for you. There's one question that I have for you, because I've been hearing this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Does a Lombardi Trophy on Sunday book Matthew Stafford a ticket to Canton?
I mean, it probably does, because, I mean, Matt Stafford, he hasn't been like one of the greats of this generation, but he's always been really good. He's always put up numbers, but he was plagued with being on that Lions team. What did they make the playoffs, like once or twice? I know they played the Saints in one of them, and they lost. I mean, man, it's just been a rough time for Matt Stafford to really get too much recognition. I mean, he's been a good quarterback to great quarterback his entire career. He's always put up numbers. It's just the teams he's been on, and he finally gets to the playoffs with another team, and they just rattle off win after win after win. And I mean, that Bucks win was kind of suspect. I mean, that was rough to watch at the very end there. I mean, rough in a good way, but I mean, so many different things are happening. They're trying to give that game away. But at the end of the day, he came with a big, big, big play to Cooper Kupp at the end there. And that's going to go down in his legacy if they end up winning the Super Bowl. That's going to be definitely a career-defining play for him. And it will be a career-defining moment, because I do think he could probably make it in there with the Super Bowl ring, especially if he has an amazing performance in the Super Bowl, gets Super Bowl MVP, just balls out in the actual game. But we'll have to see how that goes. But to answer your question, I'd say, yeah, I think he could.
You know what? A lot of people are saying this with Matt Stafford. I'm a little like indifferent on it, because some people are still saying that they feel like he needs to get like two or three. But like, we look at all these other quarterbacks who have similar resumes. I just Matt Stafford's up here in Detroit, but like Aaron Rodgers won Super Bowl. No offense, Drew Brees won Super Bowl. Russell Wilson won Super Bowl, which I know there's a lot of talk right now if Russell's still a good quarterback, considering the Seahawks really haven't done much since the Patriots' little fun fiasco Super Bowl. And that was 7 years ago. Yeah, proves how old we are. Like, we're on the wrong side of 20 here, folks, on YWC Football Talk. I'll say yes, because I said this last year when there was a few people out there that were getting mad at me for it, and I said, I think he needed to get a playoff win. I think with his resume, without the playoff win, was bad. And even to Super Bowl, and it's an example I like to bring up here before, I brought up here before. So you obviously know Joe Namath, everything, the guarantee, Super Bowl III. Did you know for his career he finished with 30 more interceptions than touchdowns?
Wow.
And he's in the Hall of Fame on that one Super Bowl win alone, and the fact that the Jets' lone Super Bowl win of 1969.
I mean, that just shows you how far a Super Bowl can go sometimes for some players.
Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to get at with Stafford is that I think that this win can, like, it's not like going to be like, hey, if he wins, you know what? Books his ticket. That's it. It's history. I just think it'll go a long way that when he does retire, the 5 years after retirement, it can go to show, hey, he's a lock to get in, which they are going to announce the Hall of Fame tonight. And if they do announce it while we are recording, we will update you and let you know on that who's going in. Not hopefully it's Richard Seymour finally. But I just say that because it's his fourth go around. I think he's got to get in because that's another subject for another day. But no, with this Rams team, I honestly think more than anything, it's how the defense is playing. Because I think Matt Stafford and Joe Burrow can go out there. They're both going to ball. I think we're going to see a very high scoring game. I just think with the teams, it's going to come down to defense. Which defense can stop which quarterback? And when it comes to that, I trust Joe Burrow more to get out of the pocket than Matthew Stafford to make a play. Like, hell, remember in the AFC Championship game, Joe Burrow escaped a Chris Jones sack. Chris Jones is an all-pro defensive tackle. He got a first down off of it. So I'm just saying, just because Joe Burrow is getting hit, and I know, look, Aaron Donald's going to be Aaron Donald, and he's going to do things that he does. But my whole thing is, expect that to happen, and don't always try to focus on shutting him down. Because the second you put all your focus to Donald, Leonard Floyd's there, Von Miller's there. You got other players that are going to come, and they're going to be able to show blitz, no problem. So if I'm the Bengals, let Aaron Donald be Aaron Donald. Just leave it up to your team to make the plays.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, right. The Rams defense is definitely stacked. They got some definite units there. And like you said, as soon as you just key in on Aaron Donald, next thing you know, the other guys can come in. I mean, it was that way with the Saints' defensive line earlier this season. They had injuries with Marcus Davenport and Peyton Turner and a whole bunch of other defensive line injuries. And Cam Jordan, he was not playing good at all. He was among the highest double-teamed defensive linemen in the league at the time. And then Davenport comes back, and all of a sudden Cam Jordan finishes the year with 11 sacks after having a very mediocre beginning to the season. And that's just how it is. Once when you have this one guy that can just cause all this attention on you, then other guys are going to eat. That's just how it is. And when you have a suspect offensive line like the Bengals do, they're going to exploit it. And like you said, Joe Burrow is going to have to make moves out of the pocket, which is something he can do. He can improvise. He can make moves. But against this Rams team, it's going to be hard. And I mean, I'm interested to watch the matchup of Jalen Ramsey against Ja'Marr Chase. That's going to be a very fun wide receiver cornerback matchup for sure,
Oh, yeah.
to see who gets the better of who at the very end of the day. And yeah, I mean, this defense is just going to be hard to compete against. Something to watch out for.
100%. That's the biggest matchup of this game, I think, is how, because if we remember a few weeks ago, Jalen Ramsey wasn't too much of a factor in the NFC Championship game. I think he did have an interception on, oh, no, wait, he did. Yeah, he had the game-winning interception, I believe, on Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you remember, he was doing really well against Mike Evans in the divisional round, but then Mike Evans burned him for that touchdown late in the game, which cost me under bet. But that's neither here nor there. But I'm just eager to see that. I'm eager to see more or less how other Bengals players go and how other players in the Bengals kind of handle that. Same thing, too, with the Rams' weapons. Because, look, the Rams have some unbelievable weapons. You have Odell Beckham Jr. You have who I feel like will be insufferable if the Rams do win on Sunday. You have Cooper Kupp. You have Cam Akers. You have Sony Michel. Van Jefferson, too, can be a factor in this game. So and also, too, Tyler Higbee as well. Don't rule out the tight ends on Sunday. I like tight end touchdown, but we're going to get into prop bets in a little bit. I have the list. Basically, what I'm going to do, well, we have a thing for prop bets planned. But basically, my thing for the Rams is, I think this game is ultimately going to come down to if Matthew Stafford makes, because remember, too, like in the game against San Francisco, the one that unfortunately knocked you guys out of the playoffs, he had that interception, and even still, he had the bad plays and fumbles against the Buccaneers. If he plays like that, I feel like it's going to cost him. If he can play smart football, the Rams have a really good chance at winning this football game.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Stafford's definitely had his history of issues with turnovers at times. And I mean, like you alluded to, that Buccaneers game, that one was rough. And I know Cam Akers was a big part of that too, with some of the fumbles he had. But if this Rams team lets the Bengals play around with them and keep up with them, it's going to be rough. And if the Rams are going to win, I would think they need to do so in a dominating fashion where their defense keeps making plays, gets turnovers because of the interruptions they're causing with the offensive line and Joe Burrow. And then you have to see if the wide receiver and Matthew Stafford are just going to take control. And like you said, I mean, Odell Beckham, he's definitely had a resurgence in these playoffs. He gets away from the Browns, and look how good he's been looking. Cooper Kupp, amazing season, such a stud. I will not be surprised at all if he wins Offensive Player of the Year here in a couple minutes, I'm sure. I would like to see the votes on that. My money's saying he'd probably win it. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be an interesting matchup. And as far as the tight ends go, like I said, you can't sleep on Tyler Higbee. He's also a really good third option there. I mean, imagine what this offense would look like if Robert Woods was still here. That would be an amazing three-headed monster at wide receiver.
Plus Van Jefferson, too. I'm only saying that, too, because you can never count him out to make a play or two. And that's what the Super Bowl comes down to, is making those critical plays in those critical moments.
Definitely.
But for a second, I got to take a break. I got to talk about something else. Got to promote myself here. Obviously, we're always sponsored by SidelineShop.ca for all your jersey needs. SidelineShop.ca, you know the website. But, folks, you see it right down here. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to point right over here. You see it. I'm going to even do you one better, folks. I am going to have it be – got to show it. There we go. You see it on the bottom now. It's scrolling, so you're going to see it. BetStamp. What is BetStamp, you might ask? Well, BetStamp is an app that is like social media for sports betting and sports gambling. Now with sports gambling being crazier and bigger than ever, Matt, I don't know if it's legal in Arkansas yet, what the ruling is on single game betting there. I know it just came into effect in Louisiana. But something Arkansas like has it?
Okay. I think they do.
Okay. So it is available in Arkansas, available in any state with a single legal game wagering allowed. But BetStamp basically is an app that you can download to your phone through iOS, Google Play. And basically what it does, it compares different odds from different books. So it lets you get the best odds for any given game, not just the NFL and not just this Sunday, guys, NCAA football, NCAA basketball, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball when it comes back, college football, the WNBA, the CFL is on there, Canadian football, which we'll be talking more about as the summer comes. But for this Sunday, guys, you want to know what the best odds are, what the best bang for your buck is going to be on any sports book available in the United States or Canada, you can go to BetStamp and find those odds. You can also follow live verified BetStamp bettors who have a great track record of betting history. I am on there as well. You can follow me, see my daily picks for betting, no matter the sport. I'm doing pretty good in the NBA right now, just to say, just to toot my own horn. But guys, if you want to download this app, and if you want to download a sports book that connects you through this app, so any bet you make on that app will be directly connected to your BetStamp account, whether it be BetMGM, FanDuel, DraftKings, Bet365, Barstool Sportsbook, etc. And today, guys, I have an exciting offer for you, especially for Sunday's big game. Go to BetStamp, download the app, use promo code GRIFFB, that's GRIFFB, when downloading the app, and you can get the help out your fellow podcast host. Like I said, guys, that is BetStamp, link in the bio. If you want to know more about BetStamp, feel free to message me or check them out on Instagram or Twitter, at BetStamp on Instagram. And there's also BetStamp Marketplace on Twitter as part of the BetStamp Twitter account where you can shop for picks. Thanks for that, Matt. I had to, you know, had to pay the bills, had to get the advertising out.
No doubt.
Yes, but for Sunday, I want to play a game with you. I want to play a game right now.
All right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through player receiving yards because we're going to go through some prop bets right now. We're going to go through even the crazy ones. I'm going to give you, but for the receiving yards ones, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you a bunch of players, and I want you to guess for me what either if their receiving yards are going to be over or under the amount I'm giving you. Okay. First player we got from the Rams, Cam Akers. 15 and a half yards.
15 and a half receiving yards. Man, that's pretty hard. Honestly, I don't know. I'm going to say Under, actually. I
Ooh.
feel like if they're going to throw the ball, they might have Sony Michel out there a little bit more for that. And I feel like if I feel like there's they're not going to be too much in a situation where they're going to have to dink and dunk. So I'm going to say under.
You know what? I think under just because of the running back situation. I personally am not going to have it on my ticket for Sunday. I know if you guys follow my videos, you will see you're going to see a lot of videos Sunday for the Super Bowl. Trust me. Last time I get to bet on NFL football for 7 months. Of course, I'm going to take advantage of it. Next one, Odell Beckham, 62 and a half.
Odell Beckham 62 and a half. I think Odell Beckham's going to get like a long touchdown at some point. He's going to burn Eli Apple down the seam or down with a go route. So I'm going to say he probably gets it all in one play. So I'm going to say over.
I'm gonna go over. I'm gonna go over too, just because it's not the big play, but I feel like they're gonna be reliant on him a lot because I feel like the Bengals are gonna try their best to keep Cooper Kupp in double coverage, which we'll get into him in a minute. But we're gonna go to the Bengals now because it basically goes Rams, Bengals, Rams, Bengals. Tyler Boyd, 42 and a half.
I think I will Tyler Boyd 42 and a half. Man, that's kind of rough. If you told me T. Higgins, I would definitely say over. Oh man. Tyler Boyd 42 and a half. I'm actually going to say he's going to reach that, but it might be very close. He might get like 50. So I'll say over 42 yards.
I like it. I like it. I'm going over with that one too. I don't know if he's going to get a touchdown in this game, but I feel like he can make a few plays here or there that can really, make those simple impact plays that like a Super Bowl hero you never really thought was going to emerge, but emerges. Big dog, Ja'Marr Chase, 79 and a half.
I think Jalen Ramsey is going to give him a tough time, honestly, and he might get a touchdown. I think he's going to be probably around the 60-yard mark, if I had to guess. So I'm actually going to say under.
I'm gonna go over just because I feel like he's gonna find a way to get that one. Like, 'cause we were talking earlier about how Mike Evans burned Jalen Ramsey for one big play. I think that's gonna happen in this game. I think you're gonna see Ja'Marr Chase make just a few big plays to where, or at least that one big play that gets him over that mark. So I feel like if this was like closer to 100, I'd probably lean towards the under. But the fact that it's at 79 and a half, I feel like it's too good to pass on.
Yeah, it could definitely happen, but I just lean towards Jalen Ramsey giving him a hard time, so it's hard for me to go over on that number.
I understand. The next one, I'm going to say mine first. I'm going to change things up. And it's because it's my second under of the game. I'm going to go T. Higgins under 69 and a half yards.
T. Higgins under 69 and a half. I'm actually going to have T. Higgins going for like 110. That's going to be my prediction.
Ooh, I like it. I
Mainly
like
just
it.
because I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have a hard time. And so he's going to have to go to his second option, T. Higgins, who is a fantastic number two wide receiver. Like, he is really good. A really good number two. I would love to have him on the Saints as a wide receiver myself. But T. Higgins, he's a fantastic option to go to when your number one target is having a tough day. So I'm gonna go with T. Higgins having a pretty good day.
I also have to go off the prop bets for a second because we do have some players from the Pro Football Hall of Fame that are coming out, one of which that makes me very happy. Richard Seymour finally getting the call to the Hall. Congrats, Richard Seymour. Well-deserved Patriots defensive end. The next one up is Panthers linebacker Sam Mills. That name rings a bell. And former 49ers defensive tackle Bryant Young. Yeah, those are the ones so far that are coming down the pipeline. I'm going to try to figure out more. I know there's a lot of other guys on that ballot that are quite popular. Let's see as well. Nothing else in the moment from what I see right here. Just those guys, Bryant Young, Sam Mills, and Richard Seymour. I know Sam Mills as well was in his last year of eligibility. Yes, so I don't see anything else at the moment. So we are going to go back to the prop bets. Let me get the ticker back on. Van Jefferson, 30 and a half yards.
Van Jefferson, 30 and a half yards. That's such a small number.
Yes.
Man, feel like he could get it because he might just get like two or three plays where he picks up 15 yards here, 10 yards here, another 5 yards there. So I think he's going to go over, but I'm going to say barely. I'm saying he's going to be around probably that 45-yard mark.
Yeah, I fully agree with you on that. I got to save the best for last. Joe Mixon, 26.5.
26.5 receiving yards.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get over that. I think it's going to probably be closer to around the 50 mark. The way I think the game's going to go. So, yeah, I'll have Joe Mixon going over that.
I'm going to go under for this one. I just feel like he's going to have – if you want to go, there's an option where on Bet365 you can do rushing and receiving yards, which that's at 92.5. So if you want to go that route, I would take that because you can rely on both. Mm-hmm. I just don't fully trust the 26.5. This second to last one, though, I do trust – Samaje Perine over 9.5 yards.
Man, that is that's a very, very low line there. Yeah. Man,
he's the one big play in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, just give him one play and he's there. Like Joe Mixon takes a rest for one play. Play breaks down. Joe Burrow has to go to his flat and then he just breaks one tackle. Then boom, there you go. I'm going to say he's not going to do it, though. I don't know why. I'm just going to say he's not going to do it.
All right. All right. I don't think he'll do it either. I wouldn't put my money there if I were you folks. It's just something I think. And the last one sketchy. I wanted to wait for – yeah, exactly. It's sketchy. Cooper Kupp over 1.5. That's easy. Over 105 or under. 105.5 rushing, receiving yards. I am all over the place today.
Man, that is that's a rough one. Yeah. 105 yards. I think he's going to get 120, so I'll say over.
I'm going to say over, too. I think it's just one of those things where you can rely on him to make big plays like that and stuff. Also, I do have the if you don't mind, I do actually have the full class for the Hall of Fame. Before we get to the sillier props, Richard Seymour, Tony Boselli, Bryant Young, Sam Mills, Leroy Butler, Dick Vermeil as a coach, Cliff Branch in the senior category, and then Art McNally in the contributor. Notable first year players that did not make it were Devin Hester, DeMarcus Ware, and Andre Johnson.
They'll all probably make it at some point for sure.
Especially Devin Hester. I have to say Devin Hester and Andre Johnson because Andre Johnson was at one time one of the best wide receivers in football.
Mm-hmm. He was fantastic.
That he was. But back to the prop bets, I have some silly ones I want to say. Coin toss. What do we think? What are we thinking?
Always got to go with heads.
You know what? I got to do the same. I got to go heads. It's just – I know they say tails never fails, but in the NFL, it always seems that heads is king.
It's gonna be heads, but if there's overtime, it's going to be tails.
Oh, that's another one. That's another bet you can make is if you think the game's going to go to overtime. I personally wouldn't.
I wouldn't. But you never know.
I would not. I don't think you've ever – there's only been the one Super Bowl. I know it's a Super Bowl you and I both love as I keep getting text notifications. So if you hear a bing, I'm sorry about that, folks. Yeah, I'm just going to go heads. But like I said, too, you never – don't bet tails. The next one is one that I am in love with. Over a minute and 59 seconds for the Star Spangled Banner being sung by country music star Mickey Guyton.
Over a minute 59 seconds.
Yeah.
That's an interesting prop bet.
You can bet on anything in the Super Bowl. I got one that I've been seeing being cooked up on Twitter and TikTok all week long that we'll get to in a bit.
Okay. I'm going to say over. I think they're going to be really extra with it.
I feel like most singers are. Like I watched today the Luke Bryan one from Super Bowl 51, and he was like, the whole video was like 2 minutes and 34 seconds, which I think at least 220 of it was him singing. So, folks, they're not going to get the anthem done quick. They're out there to showcase themselves and show the world their singing voice. They're going to milk the hell out of the anthem. The only other ones I can think of that if you want to bet on for fun is, what's the first play of the game going to be? Is it going to be a rush? Is it going to be a pass? I feel like rush is the easy answer, but I feel like pass is one where if you want to get a little frisky with it, that's the way to go.
First play of the game is going to be Joe Burrow throwing downfield to Ja'Marr Chase, but they're not able to connect, or Jalen Ramsey breaks it up.
You know what? I like that. I honestly like that a lot. I like the pass first play of the game. One other one that I really like, that's what I like, is just pass. I got to go with you on there. But there's not much I can – there's also, too, like, will there be a safety, which I'm going to say no. But the one that I know people love to bet on, and this has been a hot topic all week, what color will the Gatorade shower be?
If the Bengals win, it's going to be orange. If 100%. The Rams win, it's going to be blue.
If the Bengals win, it's going to be orange. But if the Rams win, I'm going to go lime. I don't know why. I feel lime. Blue's a good answer too. I know red's a very like high number. There's also clear as an option. There's blue. There's orange. But you got to figure if the Bengals are winning this game, hammer your money on orange Gatorade, folks. That's one of the more popular bets I know that a lot of people love to make on Super Bowl Sunday is, what's the Gatorade shower going to be?
I would personally like to bet for fruit punch plus berry, the best Gatorade flavor ever.
If we're betting on favorite Gatorade flavors, folks, give me some Glacier Cherry.
There you go.
Love that. Before we get to our official winners and picks, also too, we have a couple other props, which would be, we can say this, what we think, who's going to cover the spread and what the over-under is going to be. I want you to pick a few players from each side, but who are some players you think that truly need to have a good game in order for their team to win on Sunday? Basically, who are the YWC Football Talk impact players for Super Bowl 56?
On defense for the Rams, I'm going to say you're going to need to see a big game out of Leonard Floyd. Aaron Donald, of course, is going to be keyed in on by the offensive line, and they're going to try to have a game plan for him. So if the Rams are going to have a disruptive day, look for Leonard Floyd to take advantage of his single coverage. Von Miller is going to be taking over the other side. So if Leonard Floyd can step up and get 2 to 3 sacks on Joe Burrow, that's when you know things are probably going to be going bad and things going the right way for the Rams defensive line.
Oh, 100%. There's actually, after that, there's another prop bet that we have to discuss later on, apart from the actual ones that affect the game. But mine, honestly, if I had to go for Cincinnati, I'm going to go defensive first, and I'm going to say Sam Hubbard. I'm going to say Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. I feel like those guys have to have a good day and get after Matt Stafford. CJ Uzomah as well is another player to watch for, I think, if he has impacts. I said this the other day. I'm not expecting him to be like, you know how Travis Kelce, where it's like the game's got to revolve around him, but you know how there's those like tight ends in the NFL where, hey, if you can get a few plays out of him and he can get some catches when you need to, you're going to win the game. I think that's the same thing for Uzomah and Higbee. I think they're very similar players in that stature. But for the Rams, I'm going Aaron Donald, I'm going Leonard Floyd, I'm going Von Miller. We know what the offense is capable of. If the defense has their way and is disruptive and just causes Joe Burrow's day to be hell, you gotta figure it's going to be up to those guys. If those guys can go out there and just ball and just hit, it's going to be a long day for the Bengals fans. Because that's the other prediction I have for Sunday, by the way. I think it's going to be at least 70-30 when it comes to attendance. I think 70% Bengal fans. You're going to see so much orange in that stadium come Sunday night.
That'd be amazing. And as far as some offensive-type players, I guess, for impact players, I got to go with T. Higgins. Like I said earlier, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have a hard time with Jalen Ramsey, and they're going to have to find someone else to go to. And T. Higgins is a very safe number two option to go to. And on the Rams side of the offensive ball, got to go Odell Beckham. He's probably going to shine brightest in these lights. I think this is going to be a big game for him, and I think he's going to put up some big numbers.
I'm going to call you Matthew for a second. Matthew? I wholeheartedly agree with both those picks. I think both T. Higgins and Odell Beckham Jr. have to have important games for their sides to succeed, because we know for as good as Ja'Marr Chase is and as for good as Cooper Kupp is, you got to know that the Super Bowl can't always come down to how one player does it. Also, too, got to go back to it, folks. Breaking news. More NFL awards coming in. Coach of the Year, Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Congrats, Mike, on the well-earned award.
Yeah, congrats to the former Patriot.
Yes. I don't consider him part of the Belichick coaching tree. I know he played for us, but he never coached under Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's different being a player and then being a coach. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely probably a little bit of influence there.
Oh, there probably is. I'm just saying, like, I don't consider it as, like, a coaching tree hire. He's probably been – if you do, he's been the most successful. Like, look, he just won Coach of the Year, and he's been there. He just got an extension, him and the GM, John Robinson. But they're doing good things out in tennis in Nashville right now, so we'll see where it goes. But, no, for impact players, like I said, you just got to figure both those guys I mentioned and both you guys you mentioned, T. Higgins, Odell Beckham Jr., because, like, Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, the easy answers, but we're always looking for those other answers that are, like, a little more on Harold, because that's a Super Bowl. Like, I look at some of the Patriots ones, like Super Bowl 49, Malcolm Butler, James White in Super Bowl 51. Hell, last year, it wasn't Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. It was Antonio Brown.
Yeah, Super Bowl 40, or Saints Super Bowl, Tracy Porter.
Yeah, pick six.
Yeah.
Yeah, but next up, before we get to prop bets and we'll talk about the game, I want us to go one from each side. Is it okay if I take this away first for MVP?
Yeah, go ahead.
If I'm going with the Bengals, I'm going Joe Burrow. I know the quarterback's the easy answer, but I feel like if the Bengals are going to win this game, it's going to come down to him. Unless Evan McPherson has a great day and you want to be crazy and place that prop bet, be my guest. I'm not doing that. I'm taking the easy money with Joe Burrow, which I believe is at plus 200 right now. But I have a good one for the Rams. It's not Matt Stafford. Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it if he goes off, for sure.
Those are my two picks for Super Bowl MVP from each side. What about you?
I'd probably have to go with Matt Stafford on the Rams, just because I think if the Rams are going to win, of course their defense is probably going to play well, but I think the Rams are going to have to put up points on the board, and I think Matt Stafford could do that, and I think if he gets, like, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 300-plus-yard game, he could be looking at a Super Bowl MVP.
100%.
And then 100%. As far as the Bengals side of things, I mean, the safe thing to say is Joe Burrow, and I want to say Joe Burrow, but you already said Joe Burrow, so I'm going to think outside the box, and I'm going to say T. Higgins winning it. And I know I've been riding the T. Higgins train this whole episode, but – I really do think he's going to be a major key if the Bengals are going to get the win.
Oh, dude, I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all. That's how I like the offside picks. Like, look at Super Bowl 48, Malcolm Smith. Super Bowl 50, Von Miller. 53, Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, when it comes down to it, Super Bowl. Before we actually talk about the game, is this the most exciting? I don't know what your music tastes are exactly. I know, look, your sports teams. You're a Razorback, you're a Saint, you're part of the Thunder, which we the North laid a little nice ass kicking on you guys last night. Had to get it in there. Let's go, Raptors. But are you excited for the halftime show on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever I saw it was announced, I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Part of me selfishly, like, I love Kendrick Lamar. He's one of my top five guys out there. So, like, if Kendrick Lamar goes out there and debuts, like, a new song, has an album coming out later in the week, I'd be hyped. I'd be over the moon. I've been waiting for a new Kendrick album since Damn dropped in, like, 2017, somewhere around there. I've been fiending for a new Kendrick album. And, I mean, Eminem's okay. Kind of meh. And I like Dr. Dre all right. But I'm mainly there for Kendrick. I just want to see what Kendrick's doing. That's the thing that has me the most excited about it. And I'm sure I'm kind of in the minority when it comes to the mainstream viewing audience. Kendrick's probably the last guy that they think of, but that's definitely what I'm excited for. And it'll just be interesting to see the camaraderie between all five and see how they put together this huge concert thing, whatever they're going to do. But yeah, that's what I'm mainly excited about.
I don't blame you. I'm like a similar way too. I'm excited for everyone. I'm most excited for Eminem just because like I kind of grew up on his music and stuff. It was the first, not the first album I ever bought, but it was the first album with like the parental advisory warning on it. In like 2005. I remember that. It was like on the, I think it was an encore. I think it was Curtain Call. It was Curtain Call.
The best hits album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Curtain Call. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing him perform live. I think it's going to be great. I'm actually going to change the name of the show of today's episode from The Big Game to California Love. Why? Because we're in California. We're in California, but California Love. Shout out Tupac. No, I'm excited for the halftime show. This is going to sound really entitled, but whenever the Patriots are playing in it, I'd always kind of like be half into it, half out of it, because you're always trying to think like, oh, mm-hmm. how can it, like, okay, what do we have to do in the second half to get better to win the game, stuff like this, yada yada yada. But for the most part, the years they're not in it, it's I like it, but I don't like it. I like it for the fact that you get to watch a stress-free football game and we just get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, like I said, every year you want your team to be in that spotlight. And we'll see what happens next. I'll save that for later, what I was about to say. But we'll save. But yeah, so I'm just going to go in there on Sunday and enjoy it. I don't know what you have exactly for the over and under portion of this game. I'm just going to open up the score app quickly to see it. But right now, I want to ask you, 49.5 points, or do we see a score fest on Sunday, or do we see a low-scoring defensive game like the last Rams Super Bowl?
I think it's going to be barely ever 49 points. I think they're going to score I'm trying to think of a score that I'd want them to have.
27-24?
It'd be somewhere around there. So I think it's going to be pretty close to being over that. But I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say over too. I'm going to say 28. I'm going to say 28-24, actually. I think I just think there's going to be a score like that, you know, where the spread can get – that means the spread gets covered either way. But I'm saying that score for a reason is because, one, I do have the Bengals covering the 4.5-point spread. I'm also picking the Cincinnati Bengals to win the Super Bowl on Sunday. And here's the other reason for it. I think that if the Rams win, it's going to be an ass-kicking. But I think if the Bengals win, it's going to be a close, hard-fought football game. Because I think if the Rams win – I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a similar game like we saw against the Arizona Cardinals, where they just completely dominated them from start to finish.
Wow. As far as my prediction, the logical choice in my head wants to go with the Rams because that's who I think is going to win. But I'm going to go with the Bengals too. I'm going to say 30-27 Bengals. They won on a last minute field goal by Evan McPherson. That guy's been balling out this postseason, making key crucial kicks. He's going to go over to Brandon Allen and say, "We're about to win the Super Bowl." And it's going to happen. That's what I got.
You love to see it. You love to see it. Actually, just realized, too, as I look at the time, we just ran over 56 minutes. I feel like it would have been cool to stay in, like, that 56-minute range just because of the – it's Super Bowl 56. That's all. But I hope for all intents and purposes that this L.A. Super Bowl is not a flop because I've heard that there's not a lot of hype and buzz around it compared to other years where apparently, like, for example, I heard Minnesota, that's all you saw was Super Bowl. Apparently with LA, it's like a little more spread out, so you don't see like as much hype and excitement. I'm sure there will be at the game Sunday. I'm not trying to take anything away from it. I'm just saying like we'll see what happens on Sunday. But you got a lot of good host cities coming up after this. You have Phoenix next year. Then you have Las Vegas. The Super Bowl 59, this is one. I don't know if I'd go to the game, but I'd love to be in the city for it. But in 2025, they're going back to the Big Easy in New Orleans. I would love just to watch the game somewhere. And who knows, maybe one day us here at YWC Football Talk, maybe we have some little credentials. Maybe we get a media row. I'm going to say this right now on air. That is a personal goal of mine that I do want to reach one day, is to be a credentialed member of the media, not at the Super Bowl, but even if it's on media row, the Super Bowl experience. That's a goal of mine. I'm not afraid to admit it.
That'd be amazing.
You know what? It's like what they say, dreams got to come true. Well, anyway, folks, I think that's going to do it here for today's YWC Football Talk. This is going to sad too. This is the last episode where there's actual football being played.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not counting the, pardon me?
It is pretty sad.
It is. But you know what? It's been a very fun season. So for anyone who's listened, for anyone who's been on the show, Matt countless times, Danny, Big Rat, Lorenzo's, Ramey, you know who you are, Patriot Nation podcast member guys, Andy McNamara, Ray Rout, I could go on and on. There's been a lot of them that have been on throughout the season. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for what you – basically thank you for just helping a kid out with podcasting. But for the most part, guys, I'm just excited to keep this journey going. Off-season, look, we don't stop. We do not stop here on YWC Football Talk. I'll be back next week. We're going to recap the Super Bowl. We're going to be getting into the combine, free agency, the draft. More writing is going to come down. My first mock draft will be coming out in the next few weeks. Stay tuned for all of that, guys. Enjoy the game. Matt, thank you very much for coming on, guys. And thank you very much for listening to today's episode of YWC Football Talk.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.